Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for home theater geeks is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Home Theater Geeks with Scott Wilkinson, recorded December 12th, 2011. Episode 91, Celebrity Headphone Deathmatch. This episode of Home Theater Geeks is brought to you by Ford, featuring available voice-activated Sync. Sync gives you versatile access to music, podcasts, and more from just about any device. Check it out in the new 2012 Ford Focus and at Ford.com/technology. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All stream directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit. Hi there, Scott Wilkinson here, online editor of hometheater.com. This week's guest geek is Tile Hertzens, the online editor of our sibling site, innerfidelity.com, making his second appearance on the show. Hey, Tile, welcome back.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Those who are tuned in to the live video stream at live.twit.tv or logged into the chat room at irc.twit.tv can post questions for Tile, and I'll pass along as many as I can. So, Tile, your website is devoted to headphones, mostly personal audio, it says in its tagline. And I was particularly interested in the article you just posted called Celebrity Headphone Deathmatch. Sunday.
Nice.
Congratulations, by the way. That was a huge effort, I'm sure, wasn't it?
It was a massive undertaking made only worse by actually having to do all the listening.
How many headphones did you have in the face-off?
About 15 or thereabouts. I listened to quite a few more. Some I included and some I didn't. But there's about 15 headphones.
And for those of you who are watching the video stream, they're all arrayed there right next to him on the lab bench that he's sitting next to. And it is an impressive array, I should say.
Yeah, there's a lot of headphones here. That's for sure.
I love the picture, by the way, you took or somebody took of you with your arms out, headphones strapped to all of them. You know, it just you do great graphics on that site.
Well, thanks. My buddy Paul came over and it was I couldn't push any buttons, of course, because my arms were filled with headphones. But right. Yeah, it was good fun to take that.
Now, what gave you the idea to do such a thing?
Well, I suppose there's two fundamental reasons, and they're sort of the same. And that is that there's a huge amount of interest for it. So on the one hand, there's the interest for it. On the second hand, it's good for the site, get a lot of traffic. And the site's young. It's only been up since April. And so I thought this would be a good way to generate some more interest and traffic. And I think it's important. I mean, I'm an audiophile, and I'm a headphone enthusiast and a hobbyist. But everybody needs headphones. Everybody buys headphones, and they're inexpensive enough that most people can get quality headphones for the type of budget they're willing to spend. So there's no reason why I shouldn't talk to the broad consuming public, as well as specifically to things that interest the enthusiasts and the audiophiles out there. And the truth is that some of these celebrity headphones were quite good and competitive and even right there, best of breed in their categories of all headphones. So some of these headphones were certainly well worth reviewing on their merit. The thing is that there's so many celebrity headphones out there, and they're coming out so fast that I just thought it would be kind of a fun deal to put them all together in one place and really have a shootout and let people get the gist of what's going on.
Yeah, you mentioned this this trend or fad, I guess, Flink in the chat room says, are Beats audio headphones just a big fad? You know, as you say, a lot of celebrities are now starting to endorse headphones. You've got Dr. Dre and you've got a bunch of others.
50 Cent
and so on. When did this all start?
Well, in the article, I go into it in quite a bit of detail. I don't think it's a fad per se. What I think has happened over the past 10 years is this. If you go back to 2002 when the iPod came out, go before that, so go 15 years ago, a Discman would cost you $79, $89, an expensive one. And people would buy headphones to go along with those for $50 or $60 maybe. And that changed with the iPod, because as soon as the iPod came out, you were buying a couple of $100 player in your pocket. And as soon as you did that, you sort of increased the amount of money that you might be willing to spend on the headphones. And so when the iPod came out, there was an automatic sort of open door for headphones to get a little more credibility. The other thing that happened with the iPod, of course, was the little white wires that were everywhere for years. And so it's funny when you think about the iPod and the way they were advertising it back then, they were actually focusing on the headphones sort of inadvertently. So I think subconsciously the iPod opened the door for headphones to receive a lot more attention than they have in the past.
Yeah, the advertising for the iPod, you know, included was basically a silhouette of someone with a white iPod and the white wires coming up to their earbuds.
Right.
So they did emphasize that.
Right. The wires really got a lot of play. The headphones really got a lot of play. And that very rapidly came into the popular consciousness. And then Skullcandy started selling headphones at about 2002 as well. And they were off everybody's radar pretty much. I wasn't even aware of them until a few years after they had started. And when they started, they were really into lifestyle headphones. Their whole shtick was to go into skateboard shops and surfboard shops. They are surfers and skaters and snowboarders, and sell the headphones in those shops like lifestyle accessories. In other words, if you think about the way sunglasses are sold, they can be sold anywhere. They can be sold at a gas station. They can, you know, and Skullcandy was quite similar in their approach, although they went for the active lifestyle outlets. And so they began to make inroads with the, you know, the young kids who are boarders and action sports folks. And what happened was is that slowly but surely they created a rise in awareness of headphones can be fun. So the public was primed. They were subconsciously interested in headphones. And then as soon as people started seeing these Skullcandy jelly beans, you know, funny little painted things and very colorful and so on and so forth, they go, oh, that's cool. And they were inexpensive. You know, Skullcandy originally was a very inexpensive headphone company. And so people started buying them like crazy. And now Skullcandy is the second largest headphone maker in the world with about 14% of the market. So they're just enormous. And they got a lot of that growth from the youth buying headphones that cost $20 or less.
Wow.
And then so that's going on during the mid 2000s. And during that time also, and this really wasn't a popular movement, but the headphone hobby really got started. There's a headphone site called head-fi.org, head-fi.org. This is the mothership of headphone sites, and it's very, very popular for them. They get about 1 million unique visitors a month. So the traffic is huge on this site. So the headphone enthusiast hobby was growing, and they created a significant demand for high quality headphones. So if you go back to the turn of the century, the Sennheiser 580, I don't think the 600 was out yet, was sort of a $300 headphone. And that was the most expensive headphone you could get beside, you know, flagship headphones from Sennheiser, the Orpheus that was $14,000 and the
Stax. Right, or the Stax, yeah.
Right, there was a couple thousand dollars. And that was, but other than that, a regular pair of headphones, a good regular pair of headphones, the most you could spend was about $300 for a world-class pair at the time. Mm-hmm. So the hobby came along and it began, it really grew. It grew fast. They were really willing to buy product and it enabled manufacturers to start producing very expensive headphones. So now we have a situation where there are couple of dozen headphones that cost more than $1,000. The Audizy LCD-3, the Sennheiser HD-800, the Ultrasone Edition 10. There's just multiple headphones, Jerry Harvey JH-13s and 16s, a lot of the high-end custom in-ear models. So what happened over the course of that 10 years is the manufacturers started making headphones that were more and more and more expensive, the, sort of stretching out the brackets of what people were willing to spend.
And which seems kind of odd to me, because almost everywhere else in the consumer electronics world, people are trying to drive down prices. But here we are actually seeing an increase in prices.
Well, that kind of happened in a way because of the iPod. Before the iPod, headphones were accessories. And then after the iPod, headphones were necessities. And so sort of what happened was manufacturers probably themselves weren't even aware of the fact that headphones were a legitimate way to listen to music and they should be worked on to sound better. And so I think what happened, you know, prior to, you know, 1990, you know, good headphones didn't exist because nobody even thought there was a need for a good headphone. And so even though they've been around for a long, long time, and you would think it's a mature product, it's not, because all of a sudden it just switched around and you sort of went from everybody thought a horse and buggy was fine until the cars came along. And, okay, it's a different thing. But, I mean, the point is that the way people looked at headphones, including manufacturers, dramatically changed. And in part, as I say, because of the hobby. And they said, no, we want really good-sounding headphones. And because if you go back to, like, the Sennheiser 580, it was a pretty good-sounding headphone. But the other headphones around it were pretty miserable-sounding. And so headphones really didn't sound good hardly at all until, you know, starting in 2000, the Sennheiser 580, I would consider the first really good sounding headphone. And then the competition started going from there, fueled by the hobby.
Now, a bunch of people in the chat room are commenting about, as headphone quality increases, isn't that somewhat antithetical to listening to low bitrate MP3s? I mean, on an iPod, which, as you identified, is one of the primary drivers for this. And yet, the iPod is delivering poorer quality audio into better quality headphones. How do you respond to that?
Well, I would say you got to remember that there's a lot of things happening in parallel over the last 10 years. And so they don't actually meet up the way they ought to meet up. But I would make the argument that the general public really doesn't understand sound quality, I don't believe. The broad general public really rarely has heard very high quality sound. And so I think for the most part, if you talk about 192 KBS MP3 file, that's plenty good for the general public generally. I mean, after all, the compression wars on the loudness wars on the recordings, even if they were, you know,
2496,
yeah, or 2496, it doesn't matter. They're still horrible recordings. So I think the important factor is that I have a saying I like to say that it back in the 1950s, if you had a stereo in your apartment, you could get a girl to come to your apartment because you had a stereo. And the reason why was because the stereo had cultural credibility. It had pizzazz. It had, desirability broadly in the whole culture. And between that time and the iPod, the culture's focus and sense of desirability about audio products reduced. So you had those early days when stereo first came out, and then it went through a phase where, it became boom boxes and 8-track tapes and table radios. And, of course, the high-end audio world has always been there. But the popular culture, as far as the popular culture was concerned, it wasn't until the iPod that pop culture valued the device that the music was playing as much as the music that was playing on it.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, so I think what happened was that all of a sudden with the iPod, it had maybe not audio value, but it had cultural value. It was cool, and the headphone attached to it. It was part of the same thing, and so it made the headphone be able to be cool.
So yeah, okay, it makes a good point.
Yeah, so now you had this situation. To go back to the story here, we've got the iPod that opened the door, Skull Candy that said, headphones can be cool, and here they are, cool headphones. And then the hobbyists who stretched out the prices and created a demand for headphones that really sounded good. So by the time you get to the late 2000s, the double aughts, there was this opening that the popular culture was aware of headphones. They were interested in headphones. They thought headphones were cool. And they saw that there was such a thing as an expensive headphone. But they wanted a pair of headphones now. And all of a sudden, they were probably willing to spend 3 or 4 times more on them than they ever had before. And that's when Noel Lee at Monster Cable said, hey, headphones are the new speakers. Let's start making headphones. And he just poured gasoline on this fire. Because he was the guy that was in the right place at the right time in the right position and had the marketing chops to go, all right, he did for headphones what Apple did for portable music players. And it just took off like lightning. So I don't know that it's a fad as much as it is a turning point, a point in time where, okay, the new paradigm could come into play. And then it begs the question, okay, is it a fad to say, hey, look, I want a pair of good-looking headphones instead of some butt-ugly headphones? and there's nothing wrong with a good-looking pair of headphones as long as they sound good, too, in my opinion. Why not?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Isn't that the first criterion is how they sound?
Well, I say it's the first criterion, absolutely. But bear with me 1 second.
While he's off doing that, I want to show you quickly, those of you who are watching the stream. Right. Oh, sorry. Okay, I'll get you back in a minute.
This is a pair of Russian headphones. These things are huge, okay? It's from Russia, okay? They are, just enormous pair of headphones. And this is a pretty big pair of headphones, but these are huge.
Yeah, now, wow.
I'm sorry, I wouldn't want to put those on my head and walk around in public really comfortably.
Although they look like they might make good, they look like they might make good earmuffs.
I'm in Montana, and I have walked down to the store in those, just to try them out. But
right. And the cold Russian winter, I'm sure they probably help a lot.
That's right. They're like a boss headphones is what they are. They're huge. Anyway, the point is that why not? If you can make a headphone that sounds good. Sure, make it stylish too. And then it really takes off because, the public doesn't know what good sound means. And really, that's the crux of this matter right now. The really important thing right now is the public is all of a sudden willing to spend real good money on a pair of headphones. And I don't think in a lot of cases they're getting good sound and they don't know it. So they plonk down their $200. They pick up a pair of Beats Solos for $200 and listen to them. And they go, oh, okay. But the
I guess that
is,
must be what $200 sounds like, huh?
Right. How do they know? They've never heard before. And I'll tell you, these headphones sound abismal. Jimmy Iovine, go ahead.
I was going to say, we're going to get into your evaluation of some of these particular models.
Yeah.
But before we do, and pardon me for interrupting you, I want to just take one moment to show everybody that picture I referenced earlier of you on the website. There it is. I just had to show that because it's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I mean, and you tested all those headphones that you have on your arms there.
Oh, absolutely. And measured them.
Yeah. We've got a question in the chat room, and I wanted to – this is a really good question, I think, from Dr. T. What is a celebrity headphone? How do you define it? What is it really that we're talking about here?
Well, as Webster's defines it, celebrity means that which you celebrate or that which is celebrated.
Well, that's true.
And which means fame, basically. And so a celebrity headphone is a headphone that has somebody or something associated with it that's famous, so that you can celebrate that person, place, or thing that is emblazoned on your headphone. So technically, that's what it means.
And that was one of Monster's marketing ideas was to get Dr. Dre to get his name associated with these new headphones that they were coming out with.
Well, Skullcandy was making celebrity editions of their headphones, but they were doing it so rapid fire, it kind of didn't catch on. But they had skaters, and I think they had Snoop Dogg do one of their headphones one time early on. So they did have celebrity endorsed headphones, but you're talking about $20 headphones at that point, you know.
Right.
And it was Monster getting together with Dre. Evidently, there's some story about Dre, and I don't know if it's independent of Monster or if he had talked to Noel Lee at that point or not, but there was evidently this discussion between Dre and I don't know how to pronounce his name, Iovine, whatever it is.
Okay, whatever it is.
On the beach one day where Jimmy says to Dre, hey, let's do some sneakers, some Dr. Dre sneakers. And Dre says, screw that, I want to do headphones. So somewhere along the line, Dre and Monster hooked up and Noel Lee and, you know, found their match made in heaven, so to speak. The problem is, I'm not going to go into the headphone in particular, but there's a kind of a concept here. The problem is that what they say is that they want people to experience what they hear in the recording studio on the headphones. So they make the point that, you know, people have been ruined by the iPod earbuds, and they should, you know, so we've lost it. The quote from Iovine in some Hong Kong Times or something was that we've lost two generations of people hearing, who don't know music because they've been listening to the white iBuds on the iPod. Mm-hmm. And I've recently measured the iPod earbuds. And although they have no bass below 200 hertz, they are significantly flatter than these are between 200 hertz and 10 kilohertz. So the truth is that these are ruining people's opportunity to listen to good music and experience it. And the current iBud is actually pretty good. It's changed a lot over the years, though, I have to tell you. I talked to the engineers one time. And
at Apple, you mean?
They worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. And the current iPod white earbud is quite good. Better than almost all the other earbuds that I've measured.
Now, we're going to get, pardon me, we're going to get back to a little bit more specifics about your testing of these buds. And, oh, well, actually, they weren't buds. They were over-the-ear and on-ear headphones, not earbuds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so all the headphones that I tested had headbands and were either on-ear or around-the-ear headphones, right? I didn't do any of the in-ear headphones for this. And there are celebrity in-ear headphones.
Okay, good. Well, we're going to get to more detail on that in just a moment. But before we do, I would like to take a moment to thank one of the sponsors for this episode of Home Theater Geeks, which is Ford, featuring Available Sync. Now, this is really great because, of course, as Tile was mentioning earlier, the iPod has really changed the face of music consumption. And Sync's entertainment features let you integrate that into your car. You can access music and podcasts from most devices, including iPods and mobile phones, tablets, even flash drives. And you can play videos or display photos on your digital from your digital camera or portable game device, of course, when your vehicle is in park. It's all made possible through a versatile media hub, which supports a convenient variety of devices for your music and entertainment, such as wired connections, USB ports, SD slots, even RCA jacks for analog audio, or wireless access via Bluetooth from Bluetooth-enabled devices, of course. Just connect them and play. Once your device is connected, you can use Sync's voice activation to play what you want, like play genre rock or play the Beatles or play track and name a song and it'll play. Also available is HD radio. Features iTunes tagging, which lets you tag a song that you hear and you like, transfer info to your iPod, purchase directly from iTunes. The Sync's versatile entertainment features are available in the 2012 Ford Focus, and you can learn more about this and other technologies at ford.com/technology. So, Tile, getting back to the celebrity headphone death match. I can't help saying it that way, sorry. it's just so cool.
Yeah, I can't either, actually. when I tweeted it the other morning, I had to use all caps, you know.
Right.
And I had to say ladies and gentlemen before it, too.
Right. So what companies were involved and what models did you test?
Well, let's see. Well, of course, there's the big three rapper headphones, the Beats by Dre, the Soul by Ludacris headphones, and the just out SMS by 50 Cent or Fitty or something Fitty. Like that.
Fitty. Yeah, right.
so those were the three main rapper cans. And at this point, I've got to thank headphones.com. Brian Gluck at headphones.com was a real hero on this thing because he managed to round up some of these headphones that have like the 50 Cent headphones. He got the Ludacris headphones to me very quickly after they appeared, and they were hard to get in other places, and they were hard to get from the normal PR channels and stuff like that. So Brian at headphones.com really helped me out with this thing, and I wanted to thank him. Sure. So we got the Beats by Dre, the Soul by Ludacris, and the 50 Cent headphones. And then, of course, there's the Skullcandy headphones, and they have two celebrity headphones that I did, which was the Jay-Z Rock Nation Aviators and the Mixmaster Mic Mixmasters. And then we have AKG, and AKG decided that there was a lot of competition for the dollar amongst the younger set, and there's a lot of baby boomers around, so why not go after the baby boomers? And they got Quincy Jones to
well, that'd be one that I'd respond to more than any of these rappers, that's for sure.
That's for sure, although I have to tell you that we also got the Koss Tony Bennett.
Ooh, very nice.
So now they're trying to divvy up the baby boomers.
All right, very good.
And then another headphone that a company that I tested was the House of Marley.
So as Bob in Bob Marley's, Marley?
Bob Marley's family, and it is started by Bob Marley's family, decided to get in the business of personal audio. They do headphones, they do in-ear headphones, and they make a couple of boombox/iPod dock things. And their shtick is that they want to be all natural, and they use natural fibers and recyclable materials and 100% post-consumer waste packaging, and they've done just a really stunning job. You know, they have wording, verbiage on their web, you know, something like, you know, we're going to give you one love and that kind of thing. And they've named all the products after Bob Marley's songs. But they really, when you get their product, it's unlike receiving any other headphone I've ever had, in the sense that there is this organic love radiating from it. I mean, I hate to be so corny, but they're great. I mean, they're beautiful. Very unusual designs, too. And then lastly, and not leastly, is V-Moda, Val Colton's company. And these guys have not been around for too long, but their product is really stunning. And the cool thing about their stuff is that you can get custom graphics put on their on your headphones with them.
Oh,
so
wow.
They're a really fine product. So that's the ones that we did. That's companies
okay, now,
that got.
I'm sorry?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, I was going to ask the next question, which has been asked in the chat room now already, is how did you go about testing them? What was your testing regimen? And what did you listen to music-wise when you were actually listening?
Well, all my listening, and this is rather sad because I have to do it a lot, but I have about, and I wrote an article you could look at when I tested the world's class headphones, I have got an article about testing the world's best headphones or something like that. And I put the names of the tracks in there, but I have about 15 or 20 second clips that I just play over and over. And so I do all my evaluating with those 15 or 20, whatever it is, 15 or 20 second clips. And it allows me to concentrate on, in some there's usually three clips for each category of thing. And the category of things that I look at are balance. And the main one I use there is Pink Noise, but there's a couple of other tracks for balance, bass emphasis, mid range, treble, dynamics, and imaging. And so I have like three or four tracks for each of those. And each one's only a very short segment that's somewhat repetitive so that I don't get focus on the music. I just focus on that and it just loops. So I only listen to those tracks when I do my headphone evaluations, and those tracks I've been using for probably close to 10 years now. Some of them longer than that.
I mean, you must get mighty tired of that after a while.
You know, it just becomes a different thing. I mean, it's not music listening. I mean, I do this as a job, so I, you know, there's got to be some ditch digging component to it, and that's one of them. So I really relish the time when I do get to listen to whatever I want to listen to. That's
for sure. What about the testing measurement regimen? What do you do there?
Well, I have a company called Head Acoustics, and they have a product that's the HMS 3 Mark II or something like that, I think. And it's a artificial head. It's an IEC specification compliant acoustic measurement device that simulates the human hearing system. Mm-hmm. And so I measure all the headphones using that, and I have an audio precision tester and, you know, computers and an isolation chamber. And so I measure the headphones frequency response with that. I actually measure the headphones frequency response 5 times because I move it slightly forward, back, up, down, and then centered for the last measurement. And I move them very slightly, and that, there's some high frequency resonances that occur inside the chamber there because it's really an acoustic coupler. So these high frequency resonances move around a little bit, and by moving the headphones a little bit as you do it, you get these, some of the high frequency resonances to partially cancel out. So it's called spatially averaging. So I do some spatially averaged frequency response measurements that, and then impulse response, square wave response at 330 hertz, total harmonic distortion plus noise versus frequency, impulse response, and isolation, how much they isolate from outside noise. I have a speaker in the chamber that generates pink noise, and then I tell how much the headphones reduce the sound.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah.
so I can tell how much they isolate, how well this the you know an objective number for how well a pair of headphones isolates is an important thing, because people want to know that for traffic and stuff like that. And it's sometimes not very easy to tell when, you know, subjectively when you're listening.
Sure, sure. Well, with given all that testing and all the listening of the same 15 or 20 tracks over and over on all these headphones, the monk in the chat room is asking, did you find any correlation between price and quality?
No.
But what?
No, not really. And I have to tell you there is a correlation between price and quality, but it's very, very loose. And that's true of all headphones. All headphones.
Okay.
One of the worst headphones I've ever heard is the Ultrasone Edition 10, and it's $2,700, and it's an abomination. I mean, it's just...
So, oh, man!
Yeah, and you could take Sennheiser's line, and, you know, the 555 and the 595 and the 575, I can't remember all the numbers, you know. But, you know, one of them will be good, and then the next one won't be. It happened with the Bob Marley headphones. The $149 Bob Marley headphone sounds absolutely spectacular, but the $199 Bob Marley headphone sounds terrible, or not terrible, but it doesn't have any highs hardly at all. So there's, you know, it's true that not only do the general public are not very good at knowing what good sound is, but even manufacturers in some ways aren't very good at knowing what good sound is. And Scott, you know as well as I do that subjective evaluation of audio is very, very difficult. You know,
yes.
Acoustic memory is very short. So,
yeah. Well, Dr. T in the chat room is asking, do the electronics or the objective testing that you do with, you know, the audio precision and in your chamber and with the head and so on, does mm-hmm. that correlate with what your preferences were when you did your subjective listening?
Well, with the cautionary note that I might be fooling myself.
As might we all.
Yeah, right. I usually do try to listen to the headphones some before I test them. But what I find is that there is a strong resonance between the measured performance of the headphones and what I hear. For example, on the leading edge of the square wave should go up like this. If I see a right. square wave that overshoots a lot and then rings once or twice before it mm-hmm. carries on, mm-hmm. that headphone is almost always harsh. And if I see a headphone that the leading edge comes up like this, and you can all of them overshoot a little bit, but so you can see where it overshoots and rings, but then it continues to go up, then that headphone is going to sound muffled. It's going to sound highs withdrawn. So there are certainly things that you can see in the measurements and hear. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, I think it's true of headphones more than electronics or speakers, that measurements are telling. A little complicated the reason why, but in part it's because their performance is so generally not great. I mean, there's a lot of poor sounding headphones out there. It's hard to find a really good sounding headphone, and when you do, it's somewhat by luck. There's companies though that can hit it when they want, you know, that can hit it pretty consistently. There's no company that hits it right all the time. Sennheiser's probably the best at it. Skullcandy are two for two on their. They just switched over to being their own original design manufacturer, ODM. And the first two products that they've produced on that with that new team of people, and they're doing a lot of measurements and research and stuff like that, their first two headphones are really good. So,
Headphone Rules in the chat room asks about Grado. He thinks it's the best sounding bang for the buck. What say you?
The Grado SR60 is a great headphone for the money. Mm-hmm. And I would say the RS1 for $1,000 is really not much better sounding than the SR60.
And I think he's saying that the SR60 is like $80.
Yeah, it's cheap. It's a great headphone. I've been recommending the SR60 for 20 years now because it was available when I first started Headroom. So,
wow.
Yeah,
okay,
that's a great little...
So before you give us a roundup of what you thought of some of these headphones specifically, you've already given us a little bit of a hint, but let me just take another moment before you do, because I know that's going to take a while, to thank the other sponsor for this episode, Netflix, which, of course, everyone watching this show knows about. It's one of the most common ways to stream thousands of TV shows and movies to your computer, your TV, or even your smartphone instantly with no hassle and no time lost. And it's really quite remarkable how well it works. I myself have been using it to catch up on Star Trek Deep Space Nine, as I've said before. That's a long project, by the way. You can stream Netflix from just about anything these days. TVs have the app. Blu-ray players have the app. Game consoles have the app. You can get it on your computer, of course, as well. Just about any device, any consumer audio video device these days you want can get Netflix very easily. You can even watch from one device and start on one device and finish on another. So very convenient. Whichever way you choose to watch Netflix, you can access thousands of TV shows and movies instantly, and you can even cancel at any time. Not that you'd want to. For Twit listeners, you can try Netflix free for 30 days. Just go to netflix.com/twit, and be sure to use that URL when you're signing up for your free trial, netflix.com/twit. And we thank Netflix for their support of Home Theater Geeks and the Twit Network. So, Tile, let's get into what you thought. What were your conclusions? Which headphones came out best? Which headphones came out worst?
Well, the most miserable headphone by a long shot is the Monster Beats Solo. This is just a wretched listen, and so one day I'll have my own pair just so that I can do a video of them burning. The Monster Beats Studio, and this was their first product, I think it's also probably their best product. This is not too bad a headphone. This is, I would say that it's marvelously mediocre. Now, I have to say that's a good comment. You know, one of the problems with headphones is that they'll do everything really well except for one thing, like brightness in the treble or something like that, and then it'll fail in that one point. So there's a lot of headphones, and they also has to do with fit and comfort and, you know, styling even in some cases. You know, the trick to making a headphone is not so much making a great headphone, but making a headphone that doesn't fail in one way or another. And I don't think that these fail in one way or the other. But the noise canceling isn't very good on it. The sound really isn't very good on it. It's kind of loose, and you know, they're very good looking headphone though. Anyway, I thought that these are actually pretty good.
Now, when you're telling us, pardon me for interrupting, when you tell us about each headphone, can you, Aaron B. in the chat room is asking, can you name the price of them as you go?
Oh, sure. At any price, you don't want these, but they're $200.
those are the Monster Dr. Dre's?
The Solos, right.
The Solo.
Well, they're all Beats. I mean, I hate that. You go in there, people say, hey, how about the Beats? And they go, which Beats? Because they're all different. Wow. So the Beats Solo is, I think, $200. The Beats Solo HD, which stands for heavily distorted, I think. These are $249, I think, and then the studios are $300 or $349, something like that. I also did the Monster Beats Pro, which is their DJ headphone. Its MSRP is $400 and something. It's a metal headphone, inordinately heavy, and it performs okay. It plays really loud. It can play very, very loud from an iPod, but the highs are rolled off. There's not very much definition on them. So the Beats had the worst headphone, which was the Solo, and then they also had the studio, which was okay. Mm-hmm. The the Ludacris headphones, they really went to head to head with Monster, and so they have products that kind of compete directly to them. This is the SL300. This is a $300 headphone. This is the one that they had to compete with the Studio, and it's not as good. It's kind of looser sounding. It's just not up to really up to snuff. The one thing that it has that the Studio doesn't has is I don't know if you can see that, but it has light up earpieces. It's probably too light in here for you to see, but you can have the earpieces light up.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it's very cool. And they will also run if the battery dies. Which the Studios can't. The problem is that it sounds way worse when you're running it without the battery on. Huh. So that just means don't run the lights, because then
right.
you're all right. So
right. Okay.
This is the Soul by Ludacris SL150. This, I thought, was the best headphone of the big three rapper cans. This is a, I think, $200 headphone, $199. And I thought it was pretty good. It was pretty good in its class of on-the-ear sealed headphone. Even against other headphones in this class, I thought it did pretty well. Not the best, but it's pretty good. So of all the rapper can ones, I'd say that the SL150 by Soul by Ludacris is the way to go. So that one's a winner in the death match. there's another Soul. Oh, here, this is the Soul by Ludacris SL100, and it's a $149 headphone, and it's pretty bad. So that's a loser. And then we get to the Sleek by 50 Cent. These are just available. This is their answer to the Beats Studio. This is the SMS by 50 Sync. This has this is a wireless headphone, or you can use it with a wire. It uses Clear, which is that CD quality wireless transmission. I've used Clear before on other products, and it's a great transmission system. These headphones sound exactly the same from the wire and over the wireless connection, which is to say lousy.
All right.
Big bloated bass, mid-range that's just virtually gone. I put on Pink Noise. It was like it was coming through a tin can. They're just very, very poorly. They just sound pretty poor. I think they're really kind of bulky and ugly looking personally, but you know, there's no accounting for taste. One important thing, though, is that if you notice, the ear cups can only wiggle slightly in this direction and can't wiggle at all in this direction. Unlike the soles, have this part in here that moves very easily, and as a consequence, they're not very comfortable on your head. You have to remember, 50 Cent had a deal with Sleek that was announced last year at CES. Sleek is a headphone company in Florida that's pretty good at making headphones, and it fell through. 50 Cent bought a fashion headphone company in August. Wait, I gotta turn this thing off. I'm sorry about that.
Uh-oh. Somebody calling you saying, what?
Yeah.
How dare you?
So he's bought a company and started to design these headphones, or maybe they had some designs on the table from Sleek, I don't know, in August. So now they're out in December. That's like five months or 4 months. It's just too fast to develop a product, I think. So I think he just rushed it too quickly. This is the Street. This is the non-wireless version. The Sync can go wireless. This one is wired only, no battery, though. And it sounds identical or very, very similar. It measures very, very similarly. I think the two headphones are essentially the same, except with and without the electronics that go in there. So these ones also sound pretty poor. And that is only made more exquisite by the Smurf blue of these headphones, which is just a little hard to take, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So
those are the rappers.
Those are the rappers. We can throw in Bob Marley here. I showed you earlier on the this is the Stir It Up. It's a beautiful headphone. The highs are too rolled off. This is a $199 headphone. This is the Exodus. This is a $149 headphone, and it has a fatal flaw in that there's some elastic in this headband, and when you get it, it's way too tight, so it crawls up your head. You can't keep it on your ears.
But
if you stretch the headband to the right length and then just staple it right here, you take a stapler and on both sides so that it's the right length, and so that the little the ends of the staple are on this side and not on this side, you fix the problem. And so with a stapler, you can fix these headphones. And
you shouldn't have to do that.
No, you shouldn't have to do that. But it's worth doing because these headphones sound terrific. Mm. And they have a very unusual look. It's a wooden band across the top like this. Leather pad. Leather, not pleather. Leather. Real leather ear pads. Very organic feeling. This is a great headphone if you wear flannel shirts and jeans and sneakers and have dreadlocks or whatever. I mean, it's just a really good looking casual lifestyle headphone. I thought this was a very, very successful headphone. There are a couple issues. The ear pieces can spin all the way around. You get a little wire tangle and stuff like that. It's not perfect, but it sounds great. I mean, this is one of the best sounding headphones here. It only misses being the best sounding headphone by a small margin. You know, there's a few of them clustered around sounding this good, but it's a great sounding headphone.
Great.
And then we go to the old school folks, AKG K701, you know, or Q701. This is the Quincy Jones. This has been around for eons as the K701. I think they're $349. These are a good headphone for classical music and stuff like that. Very airy, very clear, very transparent sounding, but not very much bass. So they're not going to be satisfied by the rockers out there. It's a very good
headphone. And they're Dayglo lime green.
Well, and you can get them in black and white as well.
Oh, so, good.
Yeah. The cable is always green. It comes with two very long cables, too, so it's kind of nice. This is the Quincy Jones Q460. So this is their portable headphone that they're bringing and this is a rebadged K450, a headphone that I've never liked. It's quite colored sounding. I think these are $149 or thereabouts. The mistake that AKG made is they have a headphone called the K81 DJ. The AKG K81 DJ, and they made some versions of that K81 DJ called the K518 LE, limited edition, where they had them in different colors. They had five or six different colors, and they had a Quincy Jones green K518 DJ headphone, and they should have put the green wire on that because that was a really good sounding headphone. So if you're interested in a small one like this, from AKG, I'd suggest the K81 DJ or the K518 special edition, or as an even smaller and more portable version of something like this, the Sennheiser PX200 Mark II.
What about the Tony Bennett's?
I know. There we go. The Tony Bennett, old school Tony Bennett here. These are rebadged. Cost headphone called the DJ100. I'm going to get a pair tomorrow and measure them to make sure of this, but I'm fairly certain that they're identical in virtually every way except these have a removable cable, and of course Tony Bennett splashed all over them. You get a free download of his album Duets if you buy these headphones. The thing is, they're $149 and the DJ100 is $79. So,
and if they're identical,
they're identical, right? And that's true of all these. There's a lot of them became more expensive. The rebadged ones are almost all of them are more expensive in their rebadged
because of the celebrity name on them.
There you go. That's exactly right. These are a little dry sounding, but pretty good. Kind of an old school sound, mid forward, and N shaped curve. You know, so they're okay. They're pretty good. Then we get to Sennheiser. Now, Sennheiser didn't go with the crowd. They went with Adidas. So their celebrity is Adidas.
Somebody was asking in the chat room about Sennheiser Adidas.
Right. There's a quote in the article on InterFidelity from Stephanie Reichart, who's Sennheiser's marketing manager. And she's quoted as saying something to the effect that we didn't want rappers associated with our headphones because, you know, we don't think that rappers really can do what engineers can. And she was really speaking towards the fact that most of these rappers do have a hand in adjusting the sound of the headphones. And Sennheiser doesn't want to do that. And so they want to make it kind of really clear that they're not doing that. And so they went with a team endorsement. I think that this would play much better in Europe than it does here in the United States. These are the Sennheiser HD25 Adidas Originals. And this is like the Sennheiser HD25-1 Mark II, which is a DJ headphone. This has a split headband. Put it on your head. You can't knock it off. You can jump around like a madman. Drummers love these things. They sound absolutely terrific. This is right up there amongst the best sounding headphones in this group. And these have been great sounding headphones for, I think, 20 years. These headphones have been around almost. So these are great headphones.
Now, Effin Dunn in the chat room asks, why weren't they included in the article wrap up? Are they not?
Well, because they are not included in the article wrap up because there are other headphones that are as good sounding, and because it's a celebrity headphone, I had to keep it on that theme, and I don't think they really won in that regard. And they're a great sounding headphone, but you know these are more expensive than the HD25 without the badging on it, you know, too. So you you can get the same headphone for cheaper. So, you know, sort of unimaginative of Sennheiser and AKG and Koss to just rebadge old stuff, you know?
Yeah. So we've only got a couple minutes left. Tell me, what was your favorite of all of them?
Okay, well, the Skullcandy Mixmaster was the best sounding headphone of the bunch. This is a $300 headphone. Sounds absolutely terrific. Its little brother, the Skullcandy Aviator, is a very good sounding headphone at $149, but it doesn't isolate very well. But it's a good sounding headphone. Not great bass, though. But the winners of this celebrity headphone deathmatch by far is the V-Moda Crossfade V80 True Blood headphone. True Blood is the HBO television show, and
the vampire show, right?
Exactly. Now he really doesn't do too much with these headphones. I'm going to go off screen for just a second. He doesn't do too much with these headphones, in terms of making them look different, but you can for $45 get your own graphic put on the side and celebrate yourself. To me, that's the winning concept.
The biggest celebrity of all.
Yeah, the biggest celebrity of all in my mind is me. I don't know about you, but that's the way it is with me, you know. And so if I want to celebrate something, I want to pick what I want to celebrate. These headphones are built like a tank. They look good. They sound great. They sound as good as the Sennheisers or the, you know, as everything but the Skullcandies. The case that comes with them is just unbelievable. In terms of the extra cables, places to put stuff down, nice hard shell and molded. The V-Moda is just a spectacular product. They also have an LP2 and an LP, the Crossfade LP and the Crossfade LP2. I would take the LP2 as the better sounding headphone. Those are both bass heavy headphones, but the LP2 is a really good bass heavy headphone. So that's my recommendation on those so far. So as far as I'm concerned, V-Moda was a big winner. Skullcandy with the Mixmaster was a big winner. Soul by Ludacris won with this headphone, the SL150, because it sounded so good. House of Marley won in terms of being a company because of their really fresh outlook. And then the consumer. I think the consumer wins because with V-Moda and House of Marley and Skullcandy doing such a great job at being innovative, I think the consumer wins because we are getting some interesting and unusual headphones that we wouldn't have gotten from the big manufacturers. Unfortunately, I think the consumer also loses because the price of headphones are going up faster than the quality, I think. So, it's a mixed bag.
It's a mixed bag, as it always is. Yeah. And you have done an incredible job of sorting out that mixed bag for us today, and I sure do appreciate it. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Scott. It was a pleasure being with you, as always.
Yes, and we'll have you back, too. A lot of people in the chat room are saying, bring Tile back. He's a great Anytime. Guest, so we certainly Anytime. Will.
Anytime.
All right, you can read the celebrity headphone death match on Tile's site, innerfidelity.com, as well as plenty of other reviews and comments about headphones and personal audio at innerfidelity.com. My online home, of course, is hometheater.com. You can email me at scott@twit.tv, and you can follow me on Twitter at htgeekscott. Next week, I'm going to bring Tile Herzens back. He was such a popular guest this week and had so many questions in the chat room about things other than what we talked about today that I think we need to bring him back and have a part two. So I sure hope you'll join me for that. Until then, geek out.